Well, thank you for coming out today, for being brave. It's good to be here with you. As I said earlier, the Lord is here. And we're going to press the pause button on our normal message plans and speak directly about what's happening in the world today. As a pastor, I stay in contact with other ministry leaders, and often we share ideas, and many agreed this week to change our plans and to share some thoughts about the present crisis, including one of our mentors, Craig Groeschel, who shared some of this, and I'm going to be sharing from that today. He's pastor of Life Church. Now, unless you've been sleeping under a rock, you know that there's a lot of unrest around us all today, isn't there? As you know, the coronavirus, also known as COVID-19, is spreading. The stock market has been acting like a roller coaster, right? People are panicking. So what should we do? Not worry? Go on with life as usual? That might be underreacting. Maybe we should buy extra hand sanitizer and toilet paper and stock up everything. Hide inside and prepare for the end of the world. That might be overreacting a little bit. Now, I don't pretend to be an expert, but I don't know where this thing's going to go, but I'm going to try to speak into it today from a faith perspective. And that brings us today. Sporting events have been canceled. Conferences, concerts are canceling. Lord Botetourt, where I do a lot of subbing, their girls' champion team was supposed to play in the state final. That was canceled. Some of those girls are seniors. They'll never get a chance to do that again. As we were talking earlier, grocery stores are wiped out from all kinds of stuff. Hand sanitizer, toilet paper, aspirin, travel bans are appearing. So what are we going to do? Ignore it? Stockpile some beans and rice and hide out for 3 months? That's one option. First, I'm not going to make any long-term and permanent decisions today. In times of crisis, in times of panic, it's best not to project out into the future. It's always best to make wise decisions based on what we know today. As disciples of Jesus Christ, the basis on which we form our decisions is different. Why? Because we're not of this world. We're not to be conformed to this world. We do not live, the Bible says, like those who have no hope. We're different. Today I want to briefly consider with you three ways the Bible says that we are not like this world. I'm not going to have the usual number of slides because I had my sermon almost all done for this Sunday, and then everything happened at the end of the week and we decided it might be better to just push pause and address what's going on. So today we're going to look at three ways the Bible says we're not like this world so that we don't have to be afraid. The first way that Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, are not like this world is that we live by faith and not by fear. We live by faith, not fear. We have divine comfort. When Jesus comforted his disciples in John chapter 14, he says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." In verse 27, he added, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid." I like the way the New Living Translation puts it. In verse 27, he says, Jesus says, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So do not be afraid. Do not be troubled." Folks, we have a peace that goes beyond human understanding as followers of Jesus Christ. You know, God is not sitting up in heaven thinking, "You know, I didn't see this coming." That's not our God. Our God is faithful. He's in control. R.C. Sproul, a theologian, said this: "If there is one maverick molecule in all the universe, then God is not sovereign. And if he's not sovereign, he's not God." God is good. Our God has a plan. And so we live by faith, not by fear. He has promised to never leave us or forsake us, right? And we know that he's working in all things for our good. So what should our response be? The Bible says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and a sound mind." We're not fearful. We're not panicking. We have peace. We have faith in Almighty God, for we live by faith and not by sight. And so we live by faith and not fear. The second way that Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, are not like this world is that we are sacrificial. We are not selfish. The Apostle Paul wrote to believers in Philippi, and listen to what he said. He said, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Now, during the early church, first century Christians faced persecution, serious persecution. They could lose their life for their faith. And they didn't hoard their goods. They weren't rushing to the Jerusalem Mega Mart to grab emergency supplies. The Bible says all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to everyone who had any need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Every day, they continued to meet. Emergencies are a time when people will skip church and play it safe, won't they? But what about us as 21st century Christians? Are we going to meet publicly at church every week during this time? Well, we don't know, but we'll try. As for meeting, we see our church as a spiritual refuge for people in need. We've always been biased to being open, having church, and we always will. There's a lot of people looking for hope today, folks. I encourage you to display your faith, your worship, not once a week, but every day. If you have family members, join together as a family and pray. Call them on the phone. Pray together. You're smart people. If you don't feel well or don't feel it's wise, stay home. Attend church online. Watch on TV. We're not forcing anyone. You're not going to go to hell if you miss church. Okay? If it becomes obviously unsafe and unwise to meet publicly, then we'll try to figure out how to go online. The Bible says that in the midst of that early church crisis, it says that the Lord added to their number daily such as should be saved. With all my heart, I believe that God will use this time in America for good. We need to turn to Jesus. We need to ask for his wisdom. We need to help others. I saw one lady post on Facebook. She says, if there's anybody with children who are home and they normally eat breakfast or lunch at school, let me know if you need help. I'll bring by some peanut butter and jelly, some cereal and milk. No judging. Just let me know. We need to reach out to people in need and think of ways to help them. And so we live by faith, not by fear. We're sacrificial, not selfish. The third way that Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, are not like this world is that we shine the light of Jesus Christ. We don't hide it. We don't hide his light. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. During this time, people are afraid. They're unsettled. They're anxious, looking for hope. And folks, we have hope. We are hope dealers, not dope dealers. Okay, we are hope dealers. As children of God, as followers of Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have love to give others. We are light shiners in a dark world. Now, news reports say that this virus may be highly contagious. Well, I'm praying for some Christians to be more contagious. You know what a contagious Christian is? Someone who can't help talking about what Jesus has done for them. And other people catch at that from them. To have the contagious Christianity that the early church had. Spreading hope, spreading the love, the life in Christ. You say, well, how can we do that? Call people on the phone to see how they're doing. You know, we were just talking, you can't go to nursing homes. I'm not sure you can even go to hospitals. I wouldn't be surprised if they close them down, except for medically necessary visits. But we can call people on the phone and see how they're doing. Ask them how you can pray for them. And then pray with them on the phone. Don't just say, I'll pray for you. That's one of the biggest lies Christians say. I'll pray for you, you know. Pray with them on the phone. Ask them if you can pray for them. And if they say yes, pray with them. I've done that often, and I found that people really appreciate it, especially now. I'm believing the love and hope of Jesus spreads faster than any virus. The Bible says we are not of this world. We don't grieve or panic like the rest who have no hope. Now, let's be truthful. Humans are a fearful bunch, aren't we? But the Bible tells us over and over that if we trust in God, we do not have to be afraid. Do you remember what the angel said at the birth of Jesus? Do not be what? Afraid. I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. Jesus said, I did not come for the healthy, but for the sick. Not for the righteous, but for sinners. We are not of this world. We do not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus does not lead us into temptation, but he delivers us from evil. The Bible says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, but store it up where? In heaven. It says, do not worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Folks, we walk by faith, not by sight. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Like Jesus, we learn to pray, not my will, but yours be done. Do we have good news? Yes, we do. We are saved by grace and not by works. We're justified by faith in Christ, not by works of the law. God did not appoint us for wrath, but to receive salvation. God's good advice, do not set your minds on earthly things, things like the social media, the news, but set your minds on things above. And then it says, don't be weary in what? Well-doing. Will it be a battle? Yes. The Bible says we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, authorities, powers of this world. We're not to be overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with what? Good. We do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. We do not grieve like the rest who have no hope, the Bible says. The Lord is our helper. We will not be afraid. So what does all this mean? It means that we are not ashamed of the name of Jesus or the power of the gospel. It is the gospel that brings salvation to everyone who believes. And if you're here today without Christ, if you'll turn from your self-centered life and turn to God and say, Father, please accept me and adopt me, not for what I have done, but for what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross, the Bible says today you can become a child of God. Well, if you're already a child of God, well, then, like the first century believers in the book of Acts, I hope that you cannot stop talking about what you've seen and heard. The wonderful things God has done in your life. And if you don't have anything like that to talk about, I invite you to return to your first love of Jesus. We are different. And as we follow close to Jesus, we will not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and petition, we'll make our requests known to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We are not of this world. Our minds are not conformed, but transformed so that we can do the will of God. And so the three ways that Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, are not like this world. We live by faith, not by fear. We're sacrificial, not selfish. And we shine the light of Jesus Christ. We don't hide it. Friends, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote these words. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. That's why we're not afraid. That's why. Let me leave you with two things today. First, remember this. No matter what comes, because of Christ, we are not afraid. No matter what comes, because of Christ, we're not afraid. And secondly, when the world gets darker, Christ's light shines brighter. Don't forget that. Amen. Now next week, we're going to pick it up again and begin our close of the book of Jude. I think we have two more messages on that. Next week we'll do what I was planning to do today. We're going to talk about a rescue mission. And if you haven't read it through, or if you have, read the book of Jude again and maybe the book of 2 Peter and note how similar they are. All right, would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the hope that we have in Christ, for the many precious promises in your word that are yea and amen. Thank you for the hope that is ours in Christ, that we do not have to live in fear, but can live in faith. Thank you for being faithful, Father. Thank you that you're not going to lose your reputation on any of us, but that you are faithful in Christ Jesus. Open our eyes to the opportunities around us to be an encourager this week, to point others to faith in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.